we have The Defenders Live with our very own Miss Anna Edwards. Let's hear what Miss Anna has to say. Anna, take it away.
You're talking so sweet, well, you needn't. You say you won't cheat, well, you needn't. You're tapping your feet, well, you needn't. It's over now, it's over now.
And good afternoon, Richmond. You are listening to The Defenders Live. I am your host, Anna Edwards, and today is Monday. It's noon, and The Defenders Live is brought to you as a production of The Defenders for Freedom, Justice, and Equality. We are here on WRAR 97.3 LPFM. And if you want to learn more about The Defenders, please visit our website at defendersfje.org or defendersfje.blogspot.com. You can give us a call at 804-644-5834, and you can send us an email at defendersfje@hotmail.com. So we are delighted once again to be with you from the live room here in WRIR, and I'm very pleased today to have a guest with me. We are continuing our series of interviews with member nations of the African Community Network. Their Facebook page is available to you. Just go there and search for AfricanCommunityNetwork.com to get an idea of the way in which this organization has come together to support new immigrants coming to the United States, to the Richmond area from Africa. The last time I checked, there were 15 member nations, I think, represented by the African Community Network. And I think we are now on our, I want to say, sixth or seventh interview to give a brief introduction of a country from Africa to the people of the Richmond area. So my guest today is Stephen Johnson. So I'd like to welcome you to the show.
Hello.
Hi. We're going to have just a chat about to give our listeners, like I said, a brief introduction to the nation of Ghana. And one of the things that I'll let people know is that you are president of the Ghanaian Association of Richmond Metro, and you are also a new chair of the Health Committee of the African Community Network. Is that right?
Yes.
Yay. Welcome to the program, and welcome to the work.
Thank you.
One of the things in our conversation as we were talking before the show got started, I didn't actually ask you what it is that you do for a living. What is your profession? What do you do here?
I'm a chemist.
You're a chemist?
Yeah.
Okay.
I work with industrial hygiene and environmental testing analytical lab in Ashland.
Uh-huh.
And I am in charge of the GC lab and then the mass spec lab for volatile compounds. So my work over there is just to do chemical analysis on industrial hygiene and environmental testing.
Oh, this is very interesting. I just had a moment because you said mass spec.
Mass spec,
okay.
Mass spectrometer.
Mass spectrometer. And my family and I have gotten hooked on a television program where one of the characters is a chemist in a laboratory and routinely refers to a mass spectrometer. And so it's kind of interesting to have gotten a touch from a television program, and you do this for real. So that's very interesting. And you said it's environmental testing of various compounds that come across your path. Where is there a primary focus for the work that does come across your laboratory?
Basically, we just try to make sure that the workers, and for that matter, every individual, we want to work in a safer environment, you know,
right,
and then be secured,
right,
due to health problems. So ours is to make sure that you are well secured by testing your environment to know that wherever you are in there working with is safer for you,
right,
and for your health.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So is it primarily workplace testing or like water, air?
is we do a whole lot of tests.
And yeah.
This is air, water, soils, waste,
yeah,
and all that you can think of.
Okay. It's very interesting. And now that you are chair of the health committee with the African Community Network, have you got an idea of what that committee is going to be focused on?
Yeah, the health committee under the ACN is trying to link the members of the ACN, for that matter, the Africans who belong to this association. And even if you don't belong to this association, mm-hmm. you are still welcomed. And then we just want to open up avenues, you know, to members, Africans who are in this country, to know exactly how the health system is in Africa, is in America.
Yeah.
You know, so we try to see areas where we could have some information for our members, mm-hmm. where there could be some clinics for our members, or where there should be some free services for our members, and then let them know so they can go for it. Most people come into America, especially Africans, they come into America not knowing anything about the health system in America.
Well, it's difficult for Americans to understand, yeah. too. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so that is an area which is very touchy.
Yeah.
You know, so we just want things to be so flexible, mm-hmm. and very simple for them, so at least they can know their way in and out.
Right, right. No, it's very helpful. And I think healthcare is a topic of conversation in every single household. It's a very challenging time in accessing healthcare and feeling like you can count on having healthcare for any long period of time. It seems like if you change a job, you have to change your healthcare, and you may get it and you may not get it. And more jobs are part-time and they don't provide the healthcare along with your employment anymore. So it's a real challenging system. Yeah. Well, one of the other things I wanted to touch on, of course, is to give people an idea of your home country. You came from Ghana. How long have you been in the United States?
I've been here for 9 years.
Uh-huh. Did you go to school?
Yeah, I did school.
Okay.
Yeah,
in Virginia?
Here in Virginia, at the Virginia State University.
Okay.
I did my master's program.
Yeah.
In career and technical studies.
In
career and technical studies.
Career and technical studies. Okay,
yeah.
Very interesting. So your chemistry background came first, and then master's in career and technical studies.
Yeah, I did my chemistry back home, mm-hmm. at one of the colleges called University of Cape Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I came to America, I wanted to still advance in chemistry, but then I have some experience in teaching.
Yeah.
You know, so where I said, why not try the two? So I tried the two.
Yeah.
And then I got the admission for the master's in education. So just not for me to waste time anymore, I just proceeded on to do my master's in education.
Gotcha.
And my concentration is the career and technical studies.
I think that sounds very smart. it just partly because it means you're automatically prepared to pass the knowledge on,
yes.
right? And I think there's a large need for that.
Yeah.
And I see more and more when I think about my own sons. I I'm like any parent. I'm like, I wish they would go into this into this field, and I think of engineering as being very creative. Because of so many directions that you can go with it, and as a teacher, it does create a flexibility. It creates a kind of stability for you in terms of jobs, I think, and then but also it is a flexibility in your options as you go along. You
yes.
hope, right?
Yeah, I'm thinking of going back to school. You know, I'm still thinking of going back to school because I'm trying to go and do a PhD program,
mm-hmm.
you know, God willingly. I've tried a couple of times to gain admissions to some of the universities around, but it has not been easy.
Yeah, a PhD is, it's much more challenging.
So I'm still working on that.
Yeah, sure. And you have been here for 9 years. Tell me a little bit about Ghana. Tell me about where you were born and where you grew up.
I was born in a town in Ghana called Aguna Cedro.
Mm-hmm.
And Aguna Cedro can be found on the central part of Ghana. You know, well, Ghana is made up of regions, and one of the regions is a central region.
Mm-hmm.
And Aguna Siodru happens to be in central region.
Ah, okay.
And that is where I was born.
Okay.
And bred. But then Ghana can be located on the west coast of Africa.
Right. You know?
And it has boundaries with Togo,
mm-hmm.
Republic of Togo to the east.
Right.
And then the Republic of Ivory Coast to the west.
Yeah.
Then on the northern sector, we have Burkina Faso. Then
right.
on the southern side is the Gulf of Guinea.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And Ghana has a very thriving democracy. And for that matter, people call Ghana an island of peace, you know, because it's the only country which has this thriving democracy in one of the chaotic regions on the continent of the world. Yeah.
I was just reading that as you say, it's recognized for a stable democracy, a stable economy, and a lot of countries are looking. It's a popular place for investment now,
yeah.
especially I think China is one of the one of the places that is looking to has been investing and is looking to invest. I read something about a railroad. A railroad project, national railroad project involving China. That I thought that was very interesting because I had seen a similar dynamic with roads in Mali, also an investment of China. So
yeah, the railway projects is something to just build upon the existing ones that are in the country now. For some years, you see, railway was some means of transportation in Ghana, but well, because of poor infrastructure, conditions deteriorated, and for that matter, mm-hmm. people were not using the railway system as that much as they mm-hmm. could. So, you know, but now, because of population increase, you know, and easy accessibility, they want to revamp the railway system transportation
right.
to enable us to be able to move in and out, you know,
yeah.
and then get to places within shortest possible of time.
And that's for people as well as for trade,
for goods. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's very interesting because, again, I'm always, forgive me, I'm always going to compare my brief experience in Mali, just and partly because I think it helps illustrate for our listeners. But when I was there, what I saw was that the railroad is non-existent
mm-hmm.
in Mali, and the roads are very limited, and you can see what that does to the ability to move goods and to move people between places, and that being a landlocked country too, it doesn't have the ability to move people or goods in large quantity by water route either. So it's very encouraging on the one hand, also educational, simply to understand the level at which Ghana is operating. So it's very interesting. Tell me a little bit more about, you said you went to university in Cape Coast. Now, Cape Coast used to be the capital. At one point, it was the capital of Ghana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talking about, this brings us to a little bit of history about Ghana. And, excuse me. Ghana had its independence in 1957, the 6th of March, and then became a republic on the 1st July of 1960. Now, I would say pre-independence, Ghana had so many people coming to the shores of Ghana during the 3rd and then to the 4th century. You know, we have the Portuguese who came all the way to the shores of Ghana,
mm-hmm.
and when they came, they found that Ghana had rich resources,
mm-hmm.
such as gold, mm-hmm. and they were very much interested in the gold, and then ivory, and then they decided to do trading
mm-hmm.
in those areas. Now, don't forget, they also wanted human trading, you know, slaves. So, well, they did that for a while, and the Dutch came in to join them, you know. So after some years, the Dutch took over from the Portuguese.
Right, right.
And started trading with Ghana. Now, this got to some extent because they were actually profiting from the resources in Ghana.
Absolutely.
Now, apart from the gold and the ivory, there are other potential rich resources and commodities that you can find in Virginia.
Yeah.
In Ghana.
Yeah.
Like the timber, mm-hmm. the manganese,
mm-hmm.
the bauxite, you know, name them. So these made other countries to infiltrate the shores of Ghana. So Europeans came in, Swedes came in,
yeah.
The Danes came in, and the British also came in. But
they always seem to be there, yeah, just ready when everybody else is tired.
So after a lengthy period of time, some of them had to leave the shores back to their home country, leaving Britain and then the Dutch.
Yeah.
You know, but, well, the Dutch also eventually gave up to the British. So
right.
It was then that the British took the advantage to colonize the country. The country was then named after the massive resources of gold called the Gold Coast by the Portuguese.
Right.
So the British decided to keep the name, adopted the name.
Yeah.
So they said Gold Coast, you know, meaning the coast of what? Gold. You know, so when the British took over, well, after a period of time, the Ghanaians for now realized that things were not going the way it should be. You know, there were some problems here and there, oppressions and other sort of things going on which they didn't like. So they decided not to fight for their independence.
Absolutely. You know.
So we have one, Dr. J.B. Dankwa.
Mm-hmm.
He just went ahead and then formed a party called the United Gold Coast Convention,
that's
UGCC
right.
for short.
Yeah.
You know, so there was a Ghanaian, a renowned Ghanaian in America, he is studying, and his name is Kwame Nkrumah.
Right. So most famous Ghanaian.
They knew him to be very, very, very good and mm-hmm. very, very potent, fast in doing things. So they extended an invitation to him to come down and become the general secretary of this United Gold Coast Convention. Mm-hmm. You know, and their main aim was to fight for independence. So under the leadership of J.B. Dankwa and the General Secretary, Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, they did mm-hmm. enough to gain independence for Ghana on the 6th of March, 1957.
Yeah. I think what I read was Ghana was the first sub-Saharan African country to gain its independence
yeah.
in the 20th century.
Just to touch a little bit on the name Ghana,
mm-hmm.
you know, the name Ghana itself is coming from the former Ghana Empire, you know, Africa, those centuries, ADs,
yeah.
were not like countries, they were empires. And one
right.
of the empires was the Ghana Empire.
Right.
Actually, the name of that empire was Ouagadougou.
That's right.
Ouagadougou. You know, yeah.
yeah. And yeah.
So this Ghana Empire was under the leadership of Sundiata.
Yes, right. You know, Sundiata Keita.
Sundiata, very good.
He's
and then
back.
Sundiata. So, well, since they were more than the Ghana Empire, you know, those times all they could do was just to fight and gain people and secure lands. You know,
right.
that was the basic thing they do. So,
yeah.
Ghana went under the leadership of Mansa Musa,
right.
who was then the leader of
right.
the Mali Empire.
Right.
You know,
right.
so. So the Ghana, the Ghana, as we see,
yeah.
is a title, you know, it's a title
okay.
that was given to the kings that
uh-huh.
rule the kingdoms under the Ghana Empire.
Sure,
yeah,
okay.
So the Ghana after independence, Gold Coast after independence was named after those kings
absolutely.
That ruled
sure.
the Ghana Empire. And for now, when we talk about the Ghana Empire, it's just about 500 miles away to the north of Ghana.
Right, and in Burkina Faso and the Mali.
Yeah, Senegal, yeah. and yeah, mm-hmm. very good.
Yeah, very good. Yeah. Yeah, that's, I think, one of the things, and again, why I keep referencing Mali, is because when you do go back into the history, it's a very, it's helpful to give you a grounding of what these regions looked like and how the power shifted mm-hmm. and what it results in. It gives you, everyone needs a starting point, you know,
yeah.
sort of a point of reference in which to begin to learn and understand how these things come together. And it is, it's really fascinating. I, you know, someday I hope to make some of the same connections that my father has done with the Benin and Ghana region in terms of our family history, our ancestors who came here to the United States. So it's very exciting to be able to I also think to reestablish these connections between Africans and African Americans in a contemporary sense. So hold that thought, and I'm going to go to a quick break and let people know that they are listening to The Defenders Live here on WRIR 97.3 LPFM. It's Richmond's radio for the rest of us. You can listen online, WRIR.org, or on your radio at 97.3 on your FM dial. If you would like to learn more about The Defenders, please visit defendersfje.blogspot.com and or give us a call at 644-5834. And our email is defendersfje@hotmail.com. Today, I'm really pleased to be having a conversation with Stephen Johnson. He is a member of the African Community Network, chair of the Health Committee. He is president of the Ghanaian Association of Richmond Metro. And we are talking today about Ghana in order to sort of continue that series and give you a brief introduction to Ghana. I didn't ask you this before, but I thought it might be also helpful if you knew of particular resources, if somebody was interested in learning more about Ghana, what would be your recommendation? Is there a book or a website or people?
Yeah, I would say people.
Yeah.
Yeah, people, because, like I said earlier on, because of the peaceful nature of our politics and the people of Ghana, and then the thriving democracy we have for now, which we hope is going to continue till infinity.
Right.
I would say doing business in Ghana is one of the things some people will want to consider.
Yeah.
Because the politics and other social fabrics aside that, when you go to Ghana and invest in Ghana, you have a peaceful atmosphere.
So business can thrive.
Very good.
Yeah. You know?
So.
Yeah.
People, well, our embassies in New York and Washington mm-hmm. have a cachet mm-hmm. of information for people who want to go to Ghana and then maybe do business in Ghana.
Right.
And I hope people go in there or maybe call in there. I don't have the numbers here.
Yeah, right.
But you can go on the internet and Google it out and everything
absolutely.
Will show up. So
yeah.
Maybe people can go in there and then seek for information and
yeah.
be able to do something for themselves.
I do find that the embassies are very useful starting points for finding that information. And in New York and D.C. being really large metropolitan areas also probably have Ghana and associations.
Yes, they do.
So I would bet, yeah, mm-hmm. if you go to Google or Yahoo or whatever your favorite search engine is and mm-hmm. and look those up. The historical piece is very interesting, but I also, and again, because of the connection, Ghana is one of those countries that African Americans, as I remember growing up, very much identified with. In terms of the black liberation struggles in the United States and during the civil rights movement eras, Kwame Nkrumah, that's a name that, you know, I mean, I think black children would, you know, it's like, oh, that's really familiar, even if they don't know why, because that would be one of the names that we would have heard a lot, certainly in the 60s and 70s. And I think about this, there's a desire, obviously, for African Americans to reconnect with Africa, and that many people have gone to Ghana. And one of the reasons also would be because it's, I believe it's an English speaking in terms of the colonial language that was brought there. So that makes it, of course, easier right off the bat. But I'm also reading about more African Americans who are doing, as you said, they are actually going and investing and starting businesses. Sometimes it's travel agencies, sometimes it's import, and who knows what other kinds of opportunities. Are there particular industries that you think are particular opportunities for people?
You just talked about having to create maybe like the agencies for traveling agencies, you know, mm-hmm. that's a very good area.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Ghanaians, most Ghanaians here, and for that matter, Africans, because, there are some commonalities between Africans and the other African countries in
right.
terms of social fabrics like food and other sort of things. So
yeah.
Over here, it's really tough for us to maybe find some, you know, something that is from home. We always try to improvise. So
right.
Those are some areas that some people can invest into trying to
import more from Ghana.
Very good.
Gotcha.
You know, in the area of, let's say, food. You know. Now, when you go back home, some food come natural, but then when you are in America here, they have to be processed, you know, because typically cultural practices in America is quite different from
right.
those back home. You know, so those areas are one, and then they can think of others when they get to the embassy.
Yeah, right, exactly. And those opportunities in sort of bigger areas of trade and those thoughts. Yeah, so it's very interesting. Now, you are nicely settled. You think you're going to stay? Do you have plans to go back home? Do you get to go back home?
I want to be going back home, you know, because I still have my parents and my siblings back home.
Yeah.
So we try to connect each other, you know, almost on every weekends to know how they are faring, and that they also want to know how I'm also faring in America here. So I wouldn't say maybe going back to settle, but then maybe going back to visit and
yeah,
then come
sure.
back to America.
Sure, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I've been given the cue that our time is up, and it's interesting how we just get warmed up. But I really want to thank you for coming, and I hope that we can have you back to continue the conversation and talk a little bit more in depth about some of the areas. I think one that would be good to talk about would be more about health,
okay.
health in Ghana, and you know, and how that has connected you to that that topic here as well.
Thank you.
So, thanks again for being here. And if people want to know more about the African Community Network, they can go to the Facebook page. I think you just go to Facebook and search for African Community Network. The Ghanaian Association of Richmond Metro Area is working on a website, so we look forward to finding out about that in times to come. And Stephen, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's my pleasure.
Absolutely. And thank you for tuning in to The Defenders Live. A quick reminder that May 25th is the trial for the Burial Ground Advocates, a 9 a.m. vigil, 10 a.m. trial, if you can be there. Again, check that by checking our website and or Facebook page as well. Thanks for tuning in to Defenders Live. Remember to keep up the struggle, and that kindness is a very powerful weapon if you use it properly. Looking forward. Talk to you next week. Thanks. Good job.
How did I fare?
Very well.
The dog is so sweet when you need. You say you won't cheat.
Yes. No, it's like, it's, as long as it's a subject that you know, you usually feel pretty.